Hello and welcome to episode 117 of the Viva Albertos podcast. My name is John Fleming. I'm a writer and editor at Viva Albertos, joined as always by fellow writer and editor at Viva Albertos, Heather Simon. How are you doing, Heather?
I'm good. Hello.
Hello, Heather. And we are joined today for this special episode of the Viva Albertos podcast. All episodes of the Viva Albertos podcast, of course, are special, but this one is also special, I guess. I don't know how to finish out that thought. We are joined by CBS Sports MLB writer Dane Perry. Dane, how you doing?
I'm doing well, folks. Good to be with you.
All right. Good to have you on. And what we're going to be doing today is most of our episodes focus mostly, if not exclusively, on the St. Louis Cardinals, which are a baseball team in Major League Baseball. But in this episode, we're going to focus on Major League Baseball as a whole. We're going to preview the 2018 season. We're going to go division by division. Talk about the Cardinals some, but far from exclusively. Luckily, Jake Arrieta, Lance Lynn, like some of the guys are actually signing now. We kind of know what teams are going to look like, so it's not going to be pure guessing. Hopefully the Greg Holland signing won't affect our thoughts too much.
Where did he sign?
He didn't.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
Got it. I get you now.
All right. So we're going to start off with the American League because I figure probably most of you are not as interested in the American League. And we just want to, you know, hold you guys here listening for a while on things you don't care about because we aim to please on the Viva Albertos podcast. Let's start with the American League West. So, Dane, who do you have finishing in fifth place in the American League West?
I can't say I feel strongly about it, but I have the A's finishing last.
Okay. And Heather, who do you have?
Also the A's.
I also have the A's finished. So we have a consensus, even if we don't feel that strongly about it. Who do you have finishing fourth, Dane?
Rangers.
Okay.
Also the Rangers.
Also the Rangers.
Oh, look at that.
Happy Dane's picks. That's how I finished.
Yeah. Heather, I'm making you say it. Heather, who do you have finishing third?
The Angels.
Okay. Dane, who do you have finishing third?
The Mariners.
So you're not copying Heather's picks. I also have the Mariners because I am
right
in your picks.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Dane, who do you have finishing second?
I've picked the Angels to win a wild card for like five straight years, and I'm certainly not going to stop now given their offseason. So I have them finishing second and claiming one of the two American League wild card berths.
Okay. And Heather, who do you have finishing second?
The Mariners.
Okay. I have the Angels. So looks like there is a consensus brewing that the Houston Astros will repeat as American League West champions. Very bold pick, everybody. I'm proud.
Yeah.
So, Heather, do you have any wild card teams coming out of this round or out of this division? Sorry.
I guess they have to because the other teams from the other divisions aren't necessarily strong enough. So I guess I would pick the Mariners.
Okay. I actually do not have a wild card coming out of the American League West. I'm one of the few probably who's going that route. But Dane, you mentioned that year in, year out, you pick the Angels to win a wild card berth. This year is probably the year where you have the most people in your corner on that one. What do you like about the Angels? Do you think that they can compete for the division, or is this purely a wild card chase?
No, I mean, I think they finished 21 games back last season or something of that nature, and you can argue that the Astros have improved their roster since winning 101 and, of course, the World Series. So they certainly haven't made up that gap. They have, however, put a reasonably adequate roster around Mike Trout. You know, with Ohtani, obviously, is the major sign there, but also upgraded the infield defensively and offensively. You know, Justin Upton's back and going to be there for a full season. So I think they've, you know, the issue with the Angels has always been surrounding Trout with adequate talent, and I think they did that this time. I don't see this as a 90-win team, but I think high 80s is possible, you know, assuming Trout's healthy, and I think that's going to be enough to get them the second wild card berth in the American League.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right, and if you look at the moves they made, and it's guys who they've acquired have been sort of name guys. They get Ian Kinsler, they get Zach Cozart, it's not a new acquisition per se because he was a trade deadline acquisition, but they re-signed Justin Upton. I'm not sure how I feel about their pitching, but certainly their lineup is it's hard to go against. Sort of in my internal logic, I feel like I probably had the Angels being the team that comes closest to a wild card that doesn't get a wild card. And I'm so afraid it's going to be because of Albert Pujols. I don't want it to
right.
be. But yeah. There's that fear that, like, he's going to be the difference and it's going to be in a negative way. So hopefully I'm wrong there. I want to be wrong. But mm-hmm. Heather, you had the Mariners finishing in second. Explain yourself.
Ichiro.
Yeah, the Ichiro. Okay.
Yeah.
This is like,
hey, I would love an absurd late career Ichiro spike.
That yeah, right? I guess yeah. It's more hopeful than anything. Because if the Mariners do well, then Ichiro can go to the playoffs, and that I just want it to happen. So it's maybe it's more wishful than anything else, but that's, you know, you got to put your heart into these picks, right?
No, I'm completely dispassionate on all of this, but yeah, as far as the Mariners, they kind of, I guess at this point, they're just sort of going for one last run at it because their farm system is, if not the worst in baseball, certainly near the bottom. And at this point, because they're in a division with the Astros, they're, I guess at this point, just sort of hoping for a wild card. They still have Robinson Cano. They still have Kyle Seager. They have, you know, a few decent
Felix.
Parts. If Felix, well, they'll definitely have Felix, but mm-hmm. Felix, if he can bounce back to anything close to what he was a few years ago, would be an asset. It's so weird because I was thinking about this with regards to the Texas Rangers, who we all had finishing in fourth place. Remember when they had the best record in baseball 2 seasons ago? Like it seems like ancient history, but. And granted, they, like, really overperformed their mm-hmm. peripherals that year. But what happened? Like, what happened? Because they still have Adrian Beltre. They still have, like, a few of the parts that they had. They still have Cole Hamels. Do you think, Dane, you mentioned that you weren't confident as far as the Oakland Athletics for fifth place. Do you think that they're a team that could be like a surprise team and make some sort of run, or is a surprise team for them basically finishing in fourth place?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I could see a surprise in the sense that they could win, you know, 77 to 80 games or something like that. I don't really see the A's as having contention potential. I see some compression there with the A's, Rangers, and Mariners. I can see them all finishing within, you know, 3 to 5 games of each other, that sort of thing. So, yeah, you know, the Rangers have some play up potential there where you could certainly see them punching their way into a wild card break or something. But I see a mix of age and offensive flaws in the younger players. And I just don't see it coming together. I think rotation depth is going to be a big concern for Texas. And I just don't see it happening for them this year.
Yeah. For me, the reason that I ended up not going with this division for the wild card is because I do think it's a pretty deep division. And whenever we get to another division in the American League, I'll let people guess which one I'm going to be drawing on the fact the division's not very deep and that perhaps an okay team will be able to come out with a wild card berth, perhaps again, because of a complete lack of competition from within the division. But I'm not that confident in that pick either. Other than just gushing over Shohei Ohtani again, I don't think I really have a whole lot else to say about this division. Any other further takes?
No, I mean, I think the Astros have, you know, 105 win potential on that roster.
Yeah.
So, you know, assuming health, I mean, you know, Correa, of course, missed a couple of months last season, and presumably that's not going to happen again. So this, we could talk about the 2018 Astros as one of the great teams of the modern era if things break their way. So that's what I'm most interested in that division, in addition to, of course, Mike Trout.
Yeah, I think that. The natural reflex that I have with a team that just came off a 100-plus win season, particularly a team that won the World Series, is to say, oh, well, they're not going to be this good again. Like, last year I did that with the Cubs. Well, like, yeah, I'm still going to pick the Cubs to win the division, but I'm not going to pick them to win 103 games again.
Right.
With the Astros, I see the fact that they have a healthy Correa back. I see the fact that they had guys who were coming into their own last year who were still young, who were still improving. In addition to Correa, you have guys like Alex Bregman. And I look at the fact that they acquired Gerrit Cole, and Cole's not quite as high tier of a player as he was perceived to be a few years ago, but he's still, like, for being a guy in the back end of your rotation. And then you have Justin Verlander for a full year. This team is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I'm terrified.
And I honestly, over the next 3 years, you could argue that Bregman is the best guy on that team. I mean, he's just, I can't tell you how much he impressed me watching him in person in the postseason, and just he's got such a complete broad base of skills and is, you know, such confidence, and obviously the tools are there, and I think he's going to be a really special player, and that's not even getting into, you know, Correa and Altuve, who of course have MVP upside there. So that infield is just really something else.
Yeah, I feel like the Astros could play me at first base and still be the best infield in baseball. And to be clear, I'm bad at baseball. That's the joke, everybody. But I guess we can move on to the American League East. We have interesting division here. It's had a lot of different winners over the last few years. Dane, who do you have finishing in fifth place in the AL East?
I'm really stunned that you skipped over the Central to go to the East.
Well, we have to line things
up. For a huge leap there.
NL Central is going to be last, though, so we have to...
Oh, I see. Oh, you're thinking ahead there. Okay. last place in the AL East, I have the Rays.
Okay.
I have the Orioles.
Keeping up the annual tradition of me ranking the Rays below Heather, I'm going with the Rays in fifth place as well. So Dane and I are pretty much completely in line so far. Who do you have in fourth place?
I have the Orioles in fourth.
Okay.
I have the Rays.
I have the Orioles, so... third place.
Blue Jays.
All right. Second place.
Yankees.
Ooh. I have the Reds.
I'm annoyed because I thought having the Yankees in second place was going to be my way of differentiating here, but I have the Yankees in second as well.
Wow.
See, yeah, I can speak to this annoyance because in our CBS Slack the other day, our MLB, I was like, aha, I am going to pick the Red Sox. Take that, group think. And then everybody's like, yeah, I'm leaning that way as well. So I was really disappointed that they kind of took away my, my counterintuitive hot-taking division there. So I feel your pain being undermined with that pick.
I feel like changing my mind because I don't care that much between the two. Like, I think that Yankees and Red Sox are just...
Right. It's kind of a coin flip for me, too.
And, like, I have the Yankees getting a wild card spot and as well. And Heather.
Yeah, Yankees are my wild card.
Yeah, the Red Sox are the wild card. I guess I'm going to make the bold prediction of the Yankees winning the NL. Or
AL East.
They won the
NL. Oh, NL, that'd be a very bold prediction, yeah.
Bold than I
do. That's very bold. Yeah.
All right, so Heather, since you're the one who's going up against the group thing here, why do you have the Yankees over, well, I guess over everybody, but over the Red Sox in particular?
Giancarlo Stanton.
I mean, that's not a bad argument. It's a brief.
Not at all.
Granted.
I mean, they have the two MVPs from each league on one team.
Do they?
Yeah, don't they?
No, Altuve.
Oh, whatever. Rookie of the Year MVP. I'm talking about next year.
You could argue for Judge being.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah. There was a case for it, but he did not actually really win it. So.
Yeah, whatever. I actually thought he did, but he didn't. Now that you say that.
Okay.
But yeah, so they basically...
I can confirm that he did not win MVP.
Thank you.
But he was Rookie of the Year, and he was an MVP finalist, so...
Absolutely.
They have, two possible MVPs on their team, and I guess their pitching is... Well, don't they have a pretty good bullpen?
Yeah, the bullpen is... the Red Sox also have Craig Kimbrell, so it's not like they're... Mm. It's not like it's a weak point for them.
But I mean, they have Chapman, right?
Yeah, unfortunately for those of us who just want to take shots that are all this Chapman all day.
Garbage person, but good relief pitcher.
He is good.
And
Dylan Betances as well.
And Dylan Betances is extraordinary, yeah. So they have a pretty good 1-2 there. Their starting rotation, I actually can't really think of. I think they're
Severino and Tanaka.
Mm-hmm. Sonny Gray, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. And
they have a good rotation, but maybe this is just my own perception. I guess I just don't view any of those guys as being like an elite top tier sort of pitcher, which maybe that's just having a high standard, but compared to Chris Sale, I wouldn't say.
I think that's fair, but I think they're all quality.
Yeah, they're good number two pitchers for sure.
There's not really a drop off. They're all about they're all pretty good. So there's not a lot of, I don't know. I they're the Yankees too, so they're gonna.
I think if Severino can kind of come close to repeating last year, he's certainly in discussion for being one of the top pitchers in the American League now. But we'll see if he repeats that.
Yeah, these teams are so close to me that the Neil Walker signing almost made me switch my pick from Red Sox to Yankees just because it's like a coin flip to me. But
Todd Frazier now too, right? Yankees? No, Mets.
The Mets have Todd Frazier. So, Dane, why are you picking the Red Sox just so I can listen and piggyback off all your points?
I'm really bullish on their young core hitters. Well, some of them are not completely young anymore. Betts, Benintendi, Bogarts. I think Jackie Bradley is a bounce back candidate. Really like those guys. They addressed the glaring weakness with the JD Martinez signing. They really needed an upgraded DH, and he gives them that in a big way. Rotation, which you kind of touched on earlier. I think David Price still has something. Chris Sale obviously is on the Cy Young shortlist. I think Priscilla is going to bounce back from last season while not being as good as he was in 2016. I think that part of the rotation there just gives them a bit of an edge over the Yankees, and I think there's some playoff potential in the lineup.
Yeah, it's weird to think that the Red Sox, you talk about a guy like Mookie Betts or Jackie Bradley, and you think, oh, well, they're not the young guys on the Red Sox, but they're still like 25 years old. Like, they're not not exactly in decline, but J.D. Martinez.
But it seems like people are kind of sleeping on Benintendi, his upside. I mean, he was top prospect in baseball once he arrived, and I think there's serious all-star potential there, even in the near term for Benintendi. So he's kind of getting overlooked, I think, lately.
Yeah, I think that's a consequence of Aaron Judge doing what he did. And
yeah.
Certainly Benintendi last year wasn't as good as Judge was, but he was still perfectly fine. And J.D. Martinez signing, I think that Martinez, I don't think he's as good of a player overall as Stanton, but I think that for what the team needed, he fits what the Red Sox needed more than Stanton fits what the Yankees needed, if that makes sense. Just because with the Yankees, it looks like they're going to end up shuffling Judge or Stanton in a DH at any given point, and that's not going to be as massive of an improvement over what the Red Sox have been lacking ever since David Ortiz left. And then I agree on David Price. I don't think Price is going to jump back to being like a Cy Young level pitcher again. I think that he's probably lost a little bit of something, but I don't think he's nearly as bad as he was whenever he was pitching in the rotation the last couple of years. And like what David Price was doing when he was in the bullpen last year, I think is sort of a sign of things to come once he goes back into the rotation, on top of having Chris Sale, who's a legitimate like top five pitcher in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we are all in agreement, at least on the top two. Blue Jays, how far off do we think the Blue Jays are going to finish behind the Yankees and Red Sox? Are they going to like at least be in some sort of fringe wild card contention, or is this like a distant third, do you think?
I think they're fringe wild card contenders. I mean, I can split and see some playoff in their roster. There's some age issues there, but that rotation really has a lot of potential. Stroman, Estrada, Happ, Sanchez, that's a great starting four there. And I think that, assuming health and assuming things break the way they should, I think that rotation has some potential to pitch them into contention. Don't see them within the range of the Red Sox and Yankees, but I can't see the Blue Jays being in long-term contention.
Yeah, I think the Blue Jays are probably maybe number four on my wild card list behind all the second place teams. I think that they're certainly a better team than any of the third place teams I have in other divisions. And like, I know a lot of Cardinals fans who were clamoring for like a big acquisition in the offseason, who were wanting Josh Donaldson, were kind of annoyed that the Blue Jays are holding on to him. But I'm looking at the roster and just thinking, like, why wouldn't you hold on to him at this point? Because you have a good team. And if they decide in June or July that they're too far back and they want to trade him and get some sort of crazy haul for him, that's one thing. But going into the season, it's hard to argue against a team that's trying to do something.
Seeing how things go in the first half is perfectly sensible. You'll be able to get a return for Donaldson at the deadline if you decide to do that. So why not see if you're within range?
Yeah, the drop-off between trading a player before the season and trading a player at the deadline is not nearly as much as you might think, just because teams start to get antsy and start going crazy. You look at like what the Yankees got whenever they traded Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs. Like, teams who have their eye on the prize are going to act perhaps a little bit irrationally sometimes to get a rental. So as far as the Orioles and the Rays, I don't have a lot to say about either of these teams. Heather, do you have a lot to say about either of these teams?
No, the Rays have like no one.
The Rays are
Archer.
I mean, they have Chris Archer. They have Kevin Kiermaier. They have presumably other players.
Yeah,
that's the bulk of it.
Yeah, I think the Rays just pissed me off on principle. This is a 500-ish team last year with a contending caliber core, and they just decided to tear it down rather than make some marginal investments to improve. I mean, 500-ish. That puts you in contention these days with that second wild card in this league. the Rays just decided to burn it down, even though they had, you know, the makings of a contending roster. I think that's just, you know, I mean, come on, compete, make an effort. And the Rays did not do that. And I, you know, kind of have an outcome in some sense for that. It's just annoying as someone who wants to see competitive baseball to see a team look at their 2017 results and decide that justifies a complete tear-down, which I think it will wind up being a complete tear-down because I can't see Archer and Kumar staying for the entire season.
Yeah, I feel like the entire rationale behind what the Rays are doing is predicated on both the Yankees and the Red Sox being awesome and just thinking, oh, we can't compete with that. So if one of them could be like a 500 team this year, I would find that very amusing. First of all, just because, like all good Americans, I root against the Yankees and Red Sox. But second of all, just so the Rays could feel some sense of comeuppance for not trying. Because the whole dynamic of baseball right now of, you know, a few really awesome teams, then a bunch of teams that aren't even trying is just, it makes for a great playoffs, but it makes for a boring regular season.
I would love to see the Rays, after all, sticking around and finish like a game out of the wild card spot or something.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
She came out of the wild card spot after they traded Chris Archer at the deadline.
Right, yeah. They traded him in May or something, and then Kiermaier, and they, you know, just kind of back into, you know, 83 wins or something. Yeah, that would please me.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember other players. CJ Krohn's on them, right? That was what the return was in that one trade.
Are we going to talk about CJ Krohn?
No, I'm just trying to think of, like, what player is going to rise to the occasion.
Okay. I had something to say.
I don't have it.
Ooh, I want to know. I want to know.
What did I say about CJ Krohn? I think he's on the Rays, right?
He is on the Rays, yeah.
Cool. His ability to focus on the American League starts to...
Either, I don't know, would we call him their signature edition? I
mean, somebody has to be.
Yeah. Denard Span.
Yeah.
I guess Carlos Gomez is their big edition because he's a 3-8.
Yeah, Carlos Gomez was an interesting signing, and because he was, like, really good a few years ago.
Yeah.
That's fun. All right. Now we have to do the AL Central. We can't possibly do a season preview for the entirety of Major League Baseball without doing the American League Central. Dane, who do you have finishing in fifth place?
I have the Royals finishing last place.
Okay. Heather?
I also have the Royals.
I have the White Sox. Dane,
okay.
Dane, who do you have finishing fourth?
Tigers.
I have the Tigers also.
I have the Royals. Third place, Dane?
White Sox.
White Sox.
I have Tigers. Second place?
Twins.
Twins.
Second place, in getting a wild card berth, I have the Twins.
Okay.
And then division title, shockingly, it looks like we're all going with the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah.
So this was a sort of a bet that I had going with some friends of mine, where I would ask them, which do you think is more likely, that the Cleveland Indians don't win the AL Central or that the Cleveland Indians win the AL Central by more than 20 games? Which would you take?
I would absolutely take winning by 20 games more likely.
Yeah.
It seems obvious, and yet it also seems crazy at the same time, because you think, oh, well, such thing can go wrong, but, like, how many players do you have to chip away from the Indians before you think, like, if you say, okay, the Indians are going to go into the season, they're not going to have Kluber or Lindor the entire season. Like, I'm still taking the Indians.
Yeah.
The way Jose Ramirez, I'm still taking the Indians. You just keep subtracting players, and, like, eventually it would hit the point where I wouldn't take them. But, man, this division is bad. This division's
sad. Yeah. I think that's, you know, the bottom of that division is why the Indians could win more games than the Astros. And it's, you know, it's also why the Twins, a solid team, could fatten up on that bottom, you know, that unbalanced schedule, the bottom tier of that division, and, you know, be very much in the wild card mix again.
Yeah, to be clear,
that's going to happen.
To be clear, I don't think the Twins are as good of a team as the Angels. I don't even think they're as good of a team as the Blue Jays, but I just think that this division is so weak that the fact that I don't think they're that far off of them is enough to get them ahead, because they've gotten the signings of Logan Morrison and then Lance Lynn over the weekend. And these are the sorts of signings that, when it's the Twins, I don't mind so much, just sort of the bargain bin shopping.
I mean, they got Odorizzi for nothing, pretty much. So,
yeah.
They had a good offseason, I thought. Yeah,
the Twins have had a really good offseason, but also the fact that it's the Twins making these moves. If it was, like, the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers,
right,
who was, like, okay, we're not going to spend more than, you know, $7 or $8 million on a player, then I'd be a little bit annoyed by it. But in the case of the Twins, they don't have a ton of money, but they have a lot of good young players. And I think sort of moves that you make if you're really just aiming for a wild card. I don't think they have any illusions of winning the division.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of difference, the three of us did, in terms, or at least I had a difference, in terms of the American League Central, which was that I had the Tigers finishing in third. I think it's weird with the Tigers because they were so bad last year. They were the worst team in baseball because Pablo Sandoval hit a home run on the last game of the season to solidify that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I look at their pieces and I think, I could see Miguel Cabrera bouncing back a little bit. I could see Victor Martinez bouncing back a little bit. They're not going to be the MVP candidates they were a few years ago, but I can see them sort of accidentally stumbling their way to, like, 75 wins, which is still not exactly a high threshold, but it's also not a very good division. So,
yeah,
got to sort of, you
know. Yeah, they're going to be bad. Yeah.
Yeah. The White Sox, I just can't. I think the White Sox, like, they have an amazing farm system. They're going to be an interesting team to watch going forward. I just don't think they have really talent to, even in the American League Central, really compete for anything this year. Though
I love the name Nicky DeLocca.
It's a solid,
like, it's a really great baseball name. Yeah.
But, like, I think these are the three worst teams in the American League.
So I may be high man on the White Sox just because I think there's some upside in place and on the way, and you know, I can just squint and see things breaking in a fortunate manner for them, and then, you know, winding up on the fringes of that second wild card spot. So I don't think it's going to happen, but that's largely why I picked them third. I think they have playoff potential there relative to the Tigers and Royals.
Yeah, the White Sox are definitely a more interesting team than the Tigers or, like, the Royals, sort of just coasting by on Alex Gordon and sort of bargain version Mike Moustakas. Just sort of, yeah, coasting on the laurels of winning the World Series. I mean, they won the World Series 3 seasons ago, so it's, I'm sure there's not a lot of sympathy towards them. But
like, the Tigers and Royals are kind of, like, old and not very good, where at least the White Sox, they're not going to be very good, but they have a lot of young talent.
Yeah, you can dream on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's what makes the White Sox more interesting. At least the Tigers are trying to, you know, it's like the Royals haven't fully decided they're going to rebuild yet, which obviously they should. At least the Tigers have embraced it. I mean, they're certainly not off to a great start, but at least they've taken up to it, you know? So it's going to be weird to see how the Royals play things over the next couple of years.
I mean, the fact that the Royals were trying to, you know, by all accounts, were trying to re-sign Eric Hosmer suggested that they aren't really sure what they're doing here.
Yeah.
Even if they'd re-signed Hosmer, and even if they'd re-signed Lorenzo Cain, which never really had any realistic chance of happening, they still would have, you'd have to kind of squint to see them as being a wild card contender anyway.
Right.
I guess they're just going to kind of keep rolling with this, and Alcides Escobar is back. Yay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at some point, the roster rebuilds itself, even if you don't want to. You know what I mean? I mean, at some point, you bottom out to such an extent that it's just, it's a natural thing, but it takes so much longer that way. So, you know, I guess it's not appealing to front office or ownership, but at some point, you just got to face reality there in Kansas City. So, we'll see.
See, I find baseball a lot more interesting, just speaking as somebody that lives in Missouri, if the Royals are, you know, at least competitive. If you at least have two teams going, there's some sort of excitement going on there. And at this point,
yeah,
the Royals are just sort of hoping for nostalgia, I guess, in terms of driving fans to the ballpark, because it's not going to probably be for a winning team. All right, so it looks like the playoff teams that the three of us have are all pretty similar. Both Dane and Heather have the exact same playoff teams, I believe, except for the Heather has the Mariners, Dane has the Angels, and then the divisions are flipped for Red Sox and Yankees. And then I have the Twins in there instead of the American League West team, because I'm banking on the American League Central just being a complete disaster. I feel a little guilty banking on just awfulness, but I mean, somebody has to take it.
their own fault. You don't need to feel guilty about it. You didn't do it.
You didn't.
I didn't do it. Thank you for thank you for agreeing with my innocence on the matter. All right, so on we move to the National League West. So, Dane, who do you have finishing in fifth place?
The Dodgers.
I'm sorry?
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I have the Padres finishing last.
Okay, I had to be sure there.
Yeah.
I also have the Padres.
I, too, have the Padres finishing in fifth. So, fourth place.
It's kind of a coin flip in the next three teams, but I have the Rockies in four.
Okay.
I also have the Rockies.
I have the Dodgers. No, I have the Rockies.
Yeah.
All right. Third place?
Giants in third.
I have the Giants.
This is boring. I have the Giants as well.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks.
And then looks like we are all in complete agreement on the National League West. Dane, do you have any wild card teams emerging from the National League West?
Without feeling strongly about it at all, I do have the Diamondbacks again winning a wild card berth.
All right, and Heather?
Yeah.
Wow, me too. Okay, so.
All right. That's a wrap.
This is definitely not happening.
Yeah, this is not going to be a very exciting discussion. The Dodgers, so they were like the best team in baseball last year. I mean, they didn't win the World Series, but in terms of just, you know, sheer destroying everybody. Mm-hmm. And yet I look at them and they might be better. Like, they have these young players, and like Cody Bellinger came semi out of nowhere last year. So, and I think you take a step back, but you look at like Corey Seager and I don't even know what to say about them. They're terrifying to me. I'm so glad that the team I root for is not in the same division as them. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that there's a lot of good, like, there's a lot of super teams in baseball, but the Dodgers, to me, are the scariest of them all.
Yeah, their depth is remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, they can run so many different starting pitchers out there. Their depth is amazing, and I see them winning this division comfortably yet again, despite the fact that it's a pretty tough division.
Yeah, the depth is really like the thing to point out about them, because like, even other good teams, like if the Indians had issues and like Kluber and Carrasco were both hurt, like they would still probably win their division because it's terrible. But they would, in terms of the guys that they're bringing up, not be totally comfortable with who they're bringing into the rotation. The Dodgers just like top to bottom are just filled at like on the major league roster, and the fact they've shown the capacity that, oh, we can just bring in Curtis Granderson and have him be like essentially like a sixth outfielder for us. And just
And they've got a pretty nice pile of top 100 prospects on the way too. I mean, this is not like a
don't remind me.
I mean, they're set up nicely for a long time.
Yeah. Speaking of how well the Dodgers are set up, I feel like if you're a Giants fan right now, things have to look really bleak for you, because like even though the Giants are making an effort to make some sort of run this year.
Yeah.
Like, this is pretty much it. Like, they have to make a run now. Even their version of a run still would mean finishing, like, 20 games back of the Dodgers. And then a lot of nothingness after that, after your main rival continues to set the world on fire.
Yeah. This is, this is like trying to make it to the gas station with the light on, you know. their time is running out, and they do have long-term potential, the Giants do. I think they already had a higher baseline than their record would have suggested last season. Of course, assume a healthy Bumgarner, plus those targeted additions that really upgraded some weak spots in McCutcheon and Longoria. They do have long-term potential, but this is, I mean, the wheels are about to come off after this season.
Yeah, I guess that what the Giants are doing makes sense, in the sense that they hadn't made these moves going into this season. They were probably not going to be looking very good going into next season anyway. So you might as well make one last run at Evan Longoria, at Andrew McCutcheon, just, you know, try what you can, hope for the best. And
yeah, why not? Yeah, fair. I mean, when in doubt, you know.
And like, I don't think it's impossible for them to make to make the wild card. I'm just not.
No, not at all. Not at all. No.
Yeah. I am picking the Diamondbacks though. And I think for some reason, I cannot pick against the team with Jerod Dyson on it. I don't know why. It's a mental fixation. I've written at least 3 posts on Viva Alberto's about why the Cardinals should sign Jerod Dyson, even when they don't have any need for him. I just want
to respect that.
I think it's good for everybody to have their own, like, individual players they're completely fixated on, and he's mine. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt and Zach Greinke, they're pretty good, too.
Yeah. That's always nice.
Yeah. There's a lot to like in the roster. Season Robbie Ray had, Tyler Walker, I mean, he has a lot of potential. So, there's some real potential in that roster. Just to repeat myself. But I don't see a great deal of separation between them and the other wild card contenders. So I don't see them threatening the Dodgers, obviously. But good team, and get to the playoffs and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Diamondbacks just have a legitimately solid rotation. And it's even without having Shelby Miller in it, which, I mean, who knows what he's going to turn into once he's back. But
yeah,
at this point, they don't even need him to be that good because they have so many good, solid starters there, as well as a lineup that's, top to bottom pretty solid. Paul Goldschmidt leading the way. As far as the Rockies, they were a wild card team last year. All 3 of us have them finishing in 4th place. Heather, I haven't asked you a question directly for a while, so I'm going to that. Do you think that the Rockies, do you think this is a matter of the Giants just having passed them, or do you think this is a matter of the Rockies kind of having been a fluke last year?
I think they ran into a lot of good fortune last year, but also the Giants passed them.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
The Rockies
as well.
Didn't do anything except for sign Wade Davis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's after losing Greg Holland, which Davis is a little bit better, but it's not such a huge upgrade that you're going to think, okay, now they're going to do it.
They didn't. Otherwise, I can't think of a single thing they really did.
They re-signed Carlos Gonzalez. That's something.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that.
That's a thing.
Brian Shaw, I think they brought him in. Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Dane, what are your thoughts on the Rockies? Do you think they are within?
I like their pitching. I like the bullpen depth that they have. The rotation has some young upside in it. I think the big thing for me is just that lineup outside of Arenado and Blackman. I just don't think it can carry a contender. This is not a bad team by any means. I just don't see them getting back to the postseason. I just don't think they're going to score enough runs once you adjust for context to carry them back to the postseason.
Yeah, I think that the Rockies are kind of you need the stars align kind of thing, which isn't true of all teams. Like, there are some teams that are just so far gone that no amount of luck's going to get them there, but the Rockies are just kind of holding sort of steady and just hope that the chips fall their way. I think that's a phrase, right?
Yeah, right.
Cool. All right, and I just don't think it's going to happen this year. It's possible it happened last year, but I'm not going to bet on it. As far as the Padres, they'll be good a couple years, right? That's
yeah.
Okay.
I think they're probably a 2019-2020 type window. So, yeah.
They have Eric Hosmer. They have Alan Craig in spring training. I haven't really followed that too much besides knowing that he's there.
Oh, yeah, good old Alan.
You just hope for the best.
You do. Hey, he got that life-changing payday, so he's all right.
Yeah. I'm going to San Diego in a couple of months whenever the Cardinals play them, and I already have a pledge with my friends that I'm going with that if Alan Craig somehow is on the Padres, we give him a standing ovation every single time he comes to the plate. Because wouldn't we, really?
Yeah.
I have this weird thing that I don't think I trace it back to Alan Craig, but probably before that, but it's like these kind of fringe, clawing your way up to the minors ball players. Craig is sort of that, not to a great extent, but sort of that. But it's like, I love seeing them get their money, thank God. And they already had orders of magnitude more money than I'll ever have. But it's just this sense of relief. Thank God I'll never have to work again.
Yeah.
I feel like that way. I'm not really a Cardinals fan right now. I so badly want them to get a contract with a 20, 30 million or whatever. Just so, thank God Cardinals fan is secure, even though he's already so much more secure than I am. I have a weird thing about these. These sort of long-term contracts going to guys who just kind of claw their way up.
That's what I always think about
when Alan Craig comes up.
Yeah, I've written the Tommy Pham should be extended post before, too, so I feel like we're just going into all of my little pet topics. There's always that segment of fans that get mad whenever a player, and like this is a totally different type of player, but like whenever Mike Trout signed his extension with the Angels, saying like, oh, he can make so much more by going through to free agency. Like, yeah, but high money. So it's kind of easy to say, but it's hard to argue with somebody just giving you, you know, tens, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right. It's like, I don't really feel like moving, so I'll take $150 million over $300 million. You know, I can see where at a certain level, the thought process becomes like convenience and comfort over, you know, the other $100 million that you could get, you know. So.
Yeah, and just get the
money. Yes, I can relate.
Yeah, I don't think that Mike Trout at the end of his contract is going to be that upset about the lack of money he had, because he's going to look at the unbelievable amounts of wealth that he has right now. And
yeah, he's doing all right.
He invested it smartly. He could have that much. He's got gets a good investor there.
He's got to get a good savings bond.
Yeah, just, you know, get some of the mutual funds.
Yes.
I have this
sticking in a checking account would be just fine too.
Yeah.
Also, I have this image of Mike Trout like walking into a bank and buying like government bonds or something. It's like this is the dumbest thought process I've ever had. We're not even on the right division anymore. But,
all right. Yeah, I would put it all in my checking account and then just check my balance at ATM and then just leave those slips around for people to find and see that I have $200 million in my checking account or whatever. That's what I would do.
You sort of, you know, coyly mention it. All right, so do you have more thoughts on the National League West, or should we move on?
I don't have any more thoughts.
Let's move on.
All right, so National League East. Dean, who do you have finishing in fifth place?
Wow. That's essential. Threw me off here. I have the Marlins.
The Marlins, you say?
Yeah.
I also have the Marlins, surprisingly, I know.
I do have the Marlins as well. Fourth place, Dane.
Braves.
Also the Braves.
I am going to go with the Phillies.
Ooh. Okay. It's
one of my weirder picks. Who do you have, Dane, who do you have finishing in third?
Another coin flip situation, but I went with the Mets.
Okay.
I have the Phillies.
I have the Braves. Dane, who do you have finishing in second?
The Phillies.
I have the Mets.
I have the Mets as well. And first place, we continue to have exactly one division of any sort of dissent as we all pick the Washington Nationals to win the National League East. Does anybody have any wildcard teams coming out of this division?
No.
I did not as yeah.
They're too close together, at least the last, like, the middle three, I think. And they're not, there's not one that's good enough. Like, so they're like, not only are they not a super good second place team, but then the next, like, they're too competitive.
Yeah, I think 2 through 4 is kind of interchangeable. I'm not going to put up too much of a fight on any of them. This is in the same way that the Rays are a team that I'm constantly more down on than most people. The Braves are a team that for some reason I'm constantly higher on. Just the eventually Ronald Acuña is going to come to the major leagues and I'm just convinced, like, be Mike Trout again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, for a player that I don't actually like know anything actually about besides what people tell me, I'm very high on him.
I can see that. Yeah.
I like to do that with prospects because I don't actually know anything about prospects at all. So people just tell me to get excited. So I just get excited. I just trust them implicitly.
That's, I mean, you know, by all accounts, he is, just has an incredibly broad base of skills and, you know, the kind of tools that play up and that sort of thing. So I would expect an immediate impact.
As far as
the Mets and Phillies is really hard for me to sort out. I kind of went with the Phillies as a principle just because I'm glad to see a team actually doing something this offseason. So I do think they address some weaknesses, and they got a nice mix of known quantities and young guys coming in. So I see some, teams get that first year new manager boost. Maybe that'll happen for the Phillies. So I just sort of did it that way. I probably should have picked the Mets just because, you know, if that rotation's healthy, it's a big if, but if that rotation's healthy, that can carry them a long way. But I don't really feel strongly picking between the Phillies and Mets.
Yeah, as far as the Mets, it was basically just rotation-based. And, like, you know, the Phillies have Aaron Nola. It's not like they have nobody pitching, but in terms of...
They just signed Arrieta, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
That
as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Arrieta signed. That's day old news, but
yeah.
As far as the Mets rotation though, you still see like Syndergaard, DeGrom, Harvey. You still see guys that you remember pretty recently being awesome, and I feel like if all of those guys could just somehow click at once, like they would actually be legitimate wild card contenders. You know, at this point, I think that they're like a distant third in terms of second place teams in the National League, but something you can sort of dream on there. The Phillies, I like the fact that you're going with Gabe Kapler as, you know, part of the boost, just because like all people on the internet, I like Gabe Kapler and wish him well, but I just don't think that they quite have the, you know, the depth of team to quite pull off finishing in second place. Though I like what they're doing, and I like on principle the fact that they went out and they signed Carlos Santana, they signed Jake Arrieta. They're actually, you know, trying to improve the team. They were reportedly in on trying to trade for Manny Machado. They could very well be in on him for as a free agent coming up. And you know,
yeah, they have so much money to spend. They have so much room to come up. You know, in terms of spinning on payroll, they're going to make a huge splash next offseason. I know that. Now, yeah, they, you know, have continued potential right now. Not great potential, but to an extent.
Yeah, the Phillies are one of those teams that I, for some reason, just find baseball to be more interesting when they're good. I'm not entirely sure why that is. Like whenever, whenever they had their run in the late 2000s, early 2010s of excellence, it was just, it was so fun. That 2011 Phillies team with the top three in the rotation was just as must-see as I can remember in terms of baseball rotations, and somehow the Cardinals beat them in the playoffs. I don't totally
know what
happened, but...
The Cliff Lee playoff starts are just, I could use a mixtape for that. It was just so fun to watch, and I miss Cliff Lee so much. And there was that start against the Yankees in the World Series where there was that pop-up, and it was just like, come on, man, I got this. And just this complete obnoxious look on his face. And he, I don't know, that sort of just red ass on the mound, and the quiet red ass, I would call him, and he was just, I miss Cliff Lee, and I associate him with his abilities.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's not on those Phillies teams for this year.
Is he the one that hit Bryce Harper and said, "Welcome to the big leagues"? Was that?
That was Cole Hamels.
Cole Hamels.
Which is, I don't know, that was a good type for Hamels. He just seems like a nerd out there.
Hamels looks like a
calm surfer dude, and yet he...
I think he was trying too hard or something.
Yeah.
See, guys, I could do this too, you know, that kind of thing. That seemed out of place to me.
He was trying to prove that he was one of the, I lost my train of thought, but just trying to like prove his worth as being like one of the big manly men, and everybody chuckled at him funny. And
he was already like 30 or something when he did this, you know? It's like, you're not 19, like, you know, you should be over this kind of complex by now.
I feel like that time that Ryan Dempster hit A-Rod was sort of trying to
do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Dempster's like 82 mile an hour gas and that sort of thing. Yeah, that was obnoxious. And then A-Rod, if I recall correctly, absolutely parked one later off Dempster.
Yes, that was great. Yeah.
I've never rooted for the Yankees more, nor will I ever root for the Yankees more than I was rooting for A-Rod in that plate appearance.
Yes.
Delightful.
Yes.
Do we have to talk? So we haven't really talked about the first or last place teams in this division. I want to avoid talking about the Marlins on principle. So let's talk about the Nationals for a second. They're good, right?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, the Marlins are the best run team in Florida.
Yeah.
That was I can't argue against it just because this is a disaster of a state for Major League Baseball right now.
Who's left? Who's the fourth place team? I've already forgotten the East. The Braves, Bright future, my bright brother. I think it's going to be a critical year. To an extent, their young pitching has not developed as hoped. So this is a pretty big year on that front, I think. And, you know, I like a lot of teams. You know, I see punch-up potential where things break their way. Maybe they get in the 80s and... You know, fringe contenders. I definitely don't think that's going to happen, but you can sort of see the makings of that. But I think the most interesting thing about them is if the young pitching comes along.
It's still so weird to me last year that the Braves' strategy was, in addition to having all these young players, like acquire Bartolo Colon, R.A. Dickey, and Jaime Garcia, with Garcia being, like, easily the youngest of the three, but still being in his 30s.
Yeah.
Like, a viable strategy to compete for something. But, I don't even
like
the Marlins. The Marlins make me sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just, I don't know, man. I don't see a way out of them. I mean, even with their superstars, nobody came to those games. And then, like, I went there for the All-Star game, and now you get it. You understand why the park's impossible to get to. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, speaking in terms of urban environment. And it was already a poorly marketed team, and now it's just, you know, been stripped for parts. And I don't see a way forward right now. And they didn't really get great returns. On the guys that did trade, pretty solid return for Yelich, but otherwise they really squandered a lot of tradable assets, as we're supposed to call them these days. And they did not get great returns overall. So the Marlins are in trouble.
I feel like we should all make our picks for who we think the Marlins All-Star representative is going to be, with the caveat being you have to remember to pick a player that's like going to be on the Marlins by the All-Star break. All right.
It's
got to
be a reliever.
Right?
I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say JT Realmuto. I'm going to say he has a good year. Look, there's no good pick here.
I can see Dan Straley backing into an All-Star roster spot. I'll say Brad Ziegler. He's going to make it.
Brad Ziegler. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Yeah, that's a good one. I want to say Magnerius Sierra.
I knew you were going to say Sierra.
Yeah.
There's just like this weird feeling that he's gonna like do something, like, because Cardinal fans seem to really like him, and he's fun, even though he didn't get an extra base hit I think his whole time up with the Cardinals. And I have a feeling though he's gonna like slap a few baseballs around the diamond.
Yeah, at the All-Star break,
steal some bases, and people are gonna be mad that we traded him. But
at the All-Star break, he's gonna have an on-base percentage of like 260. He's gonna have an ISO of like point like 020, and he's gonna have like 30 steals.
Yeah.
All-Star.
Hey, those kind of players are fun,
right?
They are fun, especially
fun. Yeah.
They're especially fun if you're not rooting for their team and you're just watching as a neutral observer, which I would be. So take it.
As long as we're sending current Marlins and former Cardinals to the All-Star game, how about Kyle Bearclaw?
I like it.
Yeah, that's a
good
pick too.
He's my All-Star pick. I'm changing from Ziegler.
Yeah.
All right, so Heather, are you going with Ziegler then, or are you going with Sierra?
I'm going with Sierra.
So Sierra, Bearclaw, and Realmuto. Man, this is. Let's move
Nick to the NL Central. Wittgren is still available. Nick Wittgren.
All right, let's move on to the NL Central while we still can. Dane, who do you have finishing in fifth place in the NL Central?
Fifth place in the NL Central, I am going with the Pirates.
Okay.
Me too.
I am going to go with Cincinnati Reds for fifth place. Dane, who do you have finishing in fourth place?
The Reds.
Okay, I have the Pirates. Now is where it starts to get, you know, a little bit more interesting. Dane, who do you have finishing in third place?
The Brewers.
The Brewers.
I also have the Brewers. Dane, who do you have finishing in second place?
The Cardinals.
The Cubs.
Oh, again?
Every year.
Well, last year I got outvoted on this. I'm going to go with the Cardinals for second place. Dane and I are going with the Cubs in first place. Heather's going with, apparently, the Cardinals in first place. Shocking, I know. So, Dane, do you have the Cardinals then getting a wild card berth?
I do. I have them in the top wild card.
Okay. And then, Heather, do you have the Cubs getting a wild card berth?
No. Yes.
I say, somebody has to get it.
No.
I love this reality. I do.
All right. So last year on our season preview edition, I sort of laughed at Heather, made fun of Heather for picking the Cardinals to win the division. And then she went on her reasoning for the Cardinals to win the division, and it was not bad. Like it was completely logically sound. It was, you know, totally based in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Do you pick them every year, Heather?
Pretty much, yeah. I can't go against them. Besides, it's no fun when we all pick the same thing.
We've been doing that a lot, so.
Yeah. And so and also it's like fun to troll John a little bit. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
All right, Heather, explain yourself.
It's basically kind of the same thing as last year. the Cubs are not as good as they were the year before. They lost some key players, especially starting pitching wise. I have a really weird feeling about John Lester this year, and that he's going to turn into a pumpkin, basically. I just don't see, I don't know what it is, but I just have like this feeling, just like in my soul, that John Lester is going to have a poor year. Can't explain it other than that he's getting older. But I just have this feeling about it. And then the rest of the rotation isn't great, right, to put it nicely.
And you have Quintana and Darvish. Like, you have fine pitchers, but they definitely don't have, like, 2015 Arrieta.
Yeah, but, like, that's what I'm saying. They definitely improved the rotation from the year before when they added Quintana and Darvish. But I don't know. I guess Darvish is probably the same as Arrieta. I don't know. I just don't see – they definitely have some drop-off. I think Quintana is probably their best starter. And then I just don't think Lester's going to be that good. And Darvish is going to be – Darvish will probably be okay, but he's definitely getting older too. Even though they got more players, they're still kind of an old rotation. And then to get to, like, their position players, I guess they'll be all right, but
– Okay.
But, like, because they still have – they still have Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant, and that's a pretty good
– Yeah.
Pretty good.
It's not bad.
1-2 there. But I don't think they're going to be as good as they were the year before. And I also think their outfield
– Their outfield is a little bit shaky. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what are we doing? We have Schwarber and left. Like, is that a thing that's still going to be happening?
Yeah, Schwarber and left.
Apparently, he's gotten, like, really swole right now. But I still am not
– He lost a bunch of weight, I thought.
Yeah. Like, he's
– Yeah, he did.
But I don't know. Didn't he get sent down or almost got sent down?
Yeah. So what was weird is last, because if you look at Schwarber's numbers last year, like, the whole reputation was that he was, like, basically a DH. Mm-hmm. And his defensive metrics, like, granted, this was in way too small of a sample size to really read much into it, were not bad. Like, his numbers defensively were not terrible by any means.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't hit anything.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just think the outfield is a little weak. Their middle infield is all right, but it's just kind of mediocre, or maybe a little bit above average.
I mean, defensively, it's very good.
Yes, but hitting-wise, it's mediocre. And then
Baez and Russell were supposed to be... Well, Russell especially was expected to be a better hitter than he's been, though defensively, it's terrific.
There's also a reality, though, where these players all do better, I guess. But I just see if they stay the same last year and get the correct batted ball luck, because I feel like they outperformed a little bit last year.
I don't remember what they were last year. The year before, they were historically lucky, and not surprisingly, the Cubs didn't win the division last year by 17.5 games like they did the year before. But
I don't know. I feel like the Cardinals got better. I feel like the Cubs stayed about the same, and they were pretty close. So I think it'll at least be close. Like, I don't necessarily honestly believe that the Cardinals are going to win more games than the Cubs.
I probably wouldn't have picked them then.
But I think it's closer than what we all think, and I like the Cardinals more.
All right. And for anyone who's listening who's not familiar, you know, Dane here is a Cardinals fan. Like, we didn't just bring him on out of nothing.
Yeah.
Let's bring out a national baseball writer who also will – comply with our diatribes about Alan Craig's contract and whatnot.
I mean, maybe I'm able to think about the Cubs with more of a move because, like, I grew up in Mississippi, and, like, the Braves were the team I hated as opposed to the Cubs. I didn't really think about the Cubs. You know, I think it's probably different if you were a Missouri Cardinals fan, you know what I mean?
It's kind of slightly different for us because, like, Heather and I grew up with the Cubs being bad, so...
Right. Yeah, it's also part of it. Yeah, when I was in college, I was during the height of the, you know, Braves dominance, and I just absolutely hated them. And, you know, all my friends were Braves fans, and I remember walking back from a night class, like, and this will absolutely age me, but I, like, was, like, they had a break during the night class, and I was listening to the game on a Walkman, And this is the Pirates Braves game in LCS. And the Pirates were way at that point. I was like, okay, good. Because I was essentially motivated by Braves hate in the 90s. Because cars were trash. And then the class is over and I'm walking back and I see the dorm room going absolutely bonkers. And I realized the Braves came back and won. And that was just a sinking feeling because I was walking into that. And it would be like, you know, walking out of a bar in Wrigleyville and seeing that going on to stand with the Cardinals fan. So that's what it was like for me. So, okay, the Braves won.
Was that for the Sid Bream game? Or?
The Sid Bream game.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can make you feel very ill by pointing out how old there was at the time of that game.
It wasn't even born yet. Yeah,
correct. Right. That would be correct. I was at least alive. I don't remember it, but I was alive.
I mean, I'm young at heart, you know. It's what counts.
That's all that really matters. But anyway, the Cardinals.
Anyway, so I think I'm able to be approached a little more rationally about the Cubs. And when I look at this, I just don't see the Cardinals being all that close. I can see them finishing within, you know, six, seven, eight games, something like that. But I think there's some space between the Cubs and the Cardinals. I do like the play of potential in this Cardinals roster, particularly in terms of arms. I worry about injuries and growing pains and ineffectiveness hitting the rotation at certain points. But, you know, I love the outfield, obviously. I don't see the same potential for turning into a pumpkin and Paul DeJong that was there with Elvis Diaz. It's, you know, I love some bats in that lineup. So I think this is a strong top wildcard team by a reasonable margin, but I just don't see them being on the Cubs level.
I will say when I was making my picks that I forgot that they signed Darvish, the Cubs, and I also forgot that Quintana was on their team too. I was like, what?
Yeah, that might influence my thoughts on
like,
them as well.
I was like, why can't I think of a single like starter besides Mike Montgomery and John Lester?
I wish that would stop too. That would be good.
Yeah. So I was like, man, the rotation sucks. And he said Dave Quintana and Darvish. I was like, oh.
See, if that was their top two, I would pick the Cubs in the division.
Yeah.
So,
my argument makes more sense now. The understanding that I forgot who plays on the Cubs.
I think the Cardinals are just a weirdly volatile team this year. Like, I had a post that went up earlier today on VEB that was called Why the 2018 Cardinals Will Be a Disaster. I don't think they will be a disaster, but I can see how that would be possible. Anybody who thought that was too pessimistic should see the post I have going up Tuesday morning. It'll be very much the opposite of that. And, like, I can see a world where the Cardinals can compete with the Cubs, but I just see a lot more worlds where the Cubs win the division. And I don't even think the Cubs... I don't even really like much of what they did this offseason. I like Brandon Morrow compared to Wade Davis. I don't like that move. I think Darvish is an upgrade over Arrieta. I just don't think he's an upgrade by such a huge amount that it's going to, you know, move the radar too much for me. I'm not a Tyler Chatwood believer. I know that the Cubs seem to be, but I'm not, I'm not quite on board with that. I think that the Brewers in third place, I just don't see it with them. I feel like they needed to make another move for a pitcher. And I guess they could still sign Alex Cobb. That's still on the table. But
yeah, Alex Cobb has to happen to them. They really need another arm reputation. Yeah.
How do they not sign Lance Lynn? Because like, I get why Lance Lynn wouldn't necessarily want to go to like the Cardinals because he'd actually be fighting for a rotation spot even if he's making the same money. But why would the Brewers not offer, you know, $12 million and a dollar?
Yeah, he went so cheaply to the Twins that there's a number of teams that I look at and say, you wouldn't pay those going rates for Lance Lynn. I don't get it. And I mean, maybe the Brewers are just, you know, close to the finish line with Alex Cobb or something, and that's why it didn't happen. They're reporting to that end, but maybe that's it. But yeah, otherwise, I don't get it. I mean, they have such an obvious need in the rotation. They're so well positioned elsewhere that this is just, you got to add somebody.
Yeah, I mean, they could use both. They could use multiple pitchers, not just Cobb. They could use Cobb and Lynn and Arrieta, for that matter. But at this point, like, they have, like, the outfield's good. The fact that they added Christian Yelich is okay. I'm not going to go crazy and say that wasn't a huge addition. And, yes, this was a team that finished ahead of the Cardinals last year. But the pitching is just so much worse than the Cardinals' pitching that I can't really rationalize going with the Brewers over the Cardinals. Like, it could happen. They could strike gold and they could have a pitcher emerge, but I'm not gonna forecast it. And then as far as I had the Pirates in fourth place, the two of you had the Pirates in fifth place, and then the Reds were the other team we had in the bottom. I don't have strong opinions on these two at all.
Terrible offseason for the Pirates. Terrible. I have a contempt for what they did. It's along the lines of the Rays. What they had before they tore it down, you could see a path to contention if they made a few tweaks. They didn't do that, and they got very poor returns for the guys that did train. Bad offseason.
Yeah, and it's weird because I guess the Giants were just there to sort of harvest the bad off seasons of the Rays selling when they didn't need to sell, the Pirates selling when they didn't need to sell. The Giants just kind of like, forget it, we're going to go for it. Why not?
Yeah.
The Reds have Joey Votto, which is nice. That's about it. They have Billy Hamilton if he ever learns how to hit even remotely well.
Yeah. Nick Senzel, I think he'll get there this year. He'll be fun to watch. But
well, he's not expected to make the opening day roster, is he?
I don't think he will. I think he'll do the service time.
Okay.
Manipulation thing. But, I mean, he'll be up pretty quickly, I think. I don't know whether they'll, you know, push him past Super 2 deadline or push him past to, you know, losing free agent here. But he'll be there this season at some point. But, yeah, it's an interesting roster. They've got some interesting talent on the way. I just don't see a path to third place.
Yeah, the Reds were a team that probably got a little bit too late of a start on the rebuild, but they're starting to sort of at least show some signs of coming out of it. I don't think they're there yet. I don't know that they'll even be there like next year, but they're slowly but surely returning to respectability, and that's a start.
Mm-hmm. It's something.
Yeah. That is something. So as far as the playoffs are concerned, Dane and I actually had the same wild card game in the National League. We had Cardinals versus Diamondbacks. I'm not going to make you make a pick for a one-game playoff if you don't want to.
I'm going to say the Cardinals or the Diamondbacks. I think Mike Maddox will persuade Mike McGee to make it a bullpen game, and they will kind of take that approach and just shut down the Diamondbacks. How's that for specific?
I like it. I was just banking on Zach Greinke's velocity drops in spring training being
stopped. I've been following that. That'll be interesting. Yeah. Maybe
he's just not shouting anymore.
What's that?
I said maybe he's just not shouting anymore when he's throwing.
Maybe that's it.
He's not Anna Kournikova.
I was gonna say it's like the Serena Williams effect where the constantly yelling during the the swing is making it turn around. So who do you have winning the wild card game?
The Cubs.
Okay, and...
I didn't know you had them in the wild card. I thought you said they were missing the playoffs.
Yeah, I originally had that, but then...
This is freaking
I was reminded of...
All right, so the American League wild card game, I had the Yankees and Twins. The Yankees are a lot better than the Twins, so I'm going to take them. I actually have the same playoff teams in... both leagues, with the exception of the Cardinals making it instead of the Rockies. So I was pretty boring with my picks.
Yeah.
All the same division winners.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah.
So, Dane, I'm going to be presumptuous, but are you going to take the Yankees as a wild card winner? Because
I am going to take Yankees and the Angels, yeah.
All right, and then Heather, who you have Red Sox and Mariners?
I have the Red Sox.
Okay. So, Dane, who do you have winning the American League?
I have the Indians winning the American League.
I do as well, because we just have the same picks, apparently. Heather, do you have winning the
American League? I guess so, yeah.
Like, of all?
Yeah,
who do you have? All four of these options?
In the World Series, who do you have for the American League?
The Yankees.
Okay. Okay. Heather, who do you have winning the National League? I know what you're going to say. I'm from a mile away.
The Cardinals!
All right.
Yeah, I got to be consistent in this.
All right, I have the Dodgers.
Boring.
I have the Nationals.
All right.
Ooh, that's
Nationals are going to win.
More interesting than the Dodgers.
Nationals are going to win two more playoff series than they've won their entire franchise history.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I figure at some point the roulette wheel has to land on.
The meme has to die eventually, or as Bryce Harper would say, MA has to die eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dane, who do you have winning the World Series between the Nationals?
I have Indians over Nationals.
Okay. And Heather, who do you have in the... I know who you have.
I have the Cardinals.
You're gonna pick.
I feel like the Yankees are gonna win the World Series this year, though. Like, I just feel like they are.
So are you picking the Yankees over the Cardinals?
Heck no.
Okay. I will go ahead and pick the Dodgers over the Indians. So there's some dissension in the ranks towards the end of our picks for the playoffs, which are all completely random and totally unpredictable.
Yeah.
Right.
Unlike the regular season, where all of our picks are going to be exactly spot on.
The thing is, if the Cardinals end up winning the World Series, I look like a genius.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
You can go with easy, like, the obvious pick.
Last year, none of us even mentioned Aaron Judge in the season preview when we were talking. Like, we mentioned probably 10 Yankees players and did not mention Aaron Judge. So we've at least mentioned Aaron Judge multiple times on this episode, and that's
impressive. I mean, he was like a low OBP, run into one every now and then, big hole in the swing guy. You know? I don't think the Yankees saw that coming.
So, yeah. So, yeah, we're defensible. Yeah,
I wouldn't beat yourself up over that.
I'll instead just beat myself up over many other dumb things I've.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you got plenty of
them. Pass.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll repost the Sungwon Oh should start the wild card game post and just really get people at me. All right. To be fair, I did not write that last year.
It'd be a take.
It would. I mean, it was a take anyway, but it was a little bit dumb. Yeah. Well, Dane, thank you very much for joining us. Dane Perry of CBS Sports, for those who are, I don't know, listening late. I don't think that's a thing on podcasts, but I guess it's possible. Dane, where can people find your work, and do you have anything you want to promote?
CBSSports.com. We have outstanding Major League Baseball coverage. And I'm at Dane Perry on Twitter. Don't recommend following me, but I'm there if you really want to. And other than that, that's about it.
He has a great tweet about Hunter Pence, and there's like a photo of him, and it says, "This is quite possibly the most Christ-like I've ever seen Hunter Pence."
That is your tweet. I forgot about
it. Like, the other amazing thing is that Mike Morris is basically like John the Baptist, because he has this like crazy look on his face. He's like doing all this just like baptismal pose or whatever. Yeah. And then just the placid look on Hunter Pence's face is just, it amazes me. The photo's still
amazing. I love that tweet so much. When I like probably saw that at work the first time I saw it, I was at work and I just started laughing out loud. And I had to try to explain why I was laughing to everyone else. And they like, I looked like a lunatic, but.
It's no longer a pinned tweet. I need to go back and fix that. It needs to come back. Yeah.
I always associate it as being a Brisby tweet, so you need to pin it and reclaim your territory.
Yeah.
I do, yeah. The Hunter Pence Christ figure.
Make that your bio. I did the Hunter Pence Christ.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was going to try to throw that in at some point in the podcast, because people need to
know
it's you.
You did.
Yeah.
We'll throw a link to the tweet into the podcast.
More people need to see that.
It's related content. There we go.
I'll retweet it while we're editing. How can people find you and your work?
You can follow me on Twitter, LIL_scooter93, and read my writing at Viva Alberto's Monday through Friday at 12 noon. Also, we are launching the Viva Alberto's Snapchat, which is not really affiliated technically with SB Nation or Viva Alberto's. They did not ask us to do this, and I did it anyway. It's Viva Alberto's SBN, and it's basically just random stuff about the site, like articles and me and my dog watching baseball.
Yeah.
It's a great time.
The current Snapchat story on that is the first time I've contributed to it, and it's literally just a picture of Heather and her dog on the couch and me saying, hey, it's 2/3 of the podcast co-hosts.
There's a power vacuum at VEB right now, because our overlord was Craig Edwards and he stepped down and we're waiting for a new overlord. So I'm just using this time, taking advantage of it to do whatever I want.
And there are no laws.
Yes, it's the wild west of blog running, posting, article making. So
I like it.
I'm doing what I want.
All right, everybody can follow me on Twitter at JohnJF125. I just retweeted Dane Perry's Hunter Pence Christ-like. I do have some good content on it. You can check out my writing at Viva Alberto's. Again, it's the wild, wild west. People just go up whenever they feel like it. There are no laws. We're all just we're starving for structure, and yet we can't live with structure anymore. We've learned freedom on the outside, and we have to take advantage of it as much as we possibly can. You can follow Viva Albertos on Twitter at Viva Albertos, Facebook.com/Viva Albertos if you're into that sort of thing. As I mentioned before, you can check out the Snapchat, which we'll update sometimes, maybe, yeah, if you feel like it. And you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to this podcast currently. We'll keep having it at that place as well. Dane, thank you once again for joining us. It was fun. Hopefully the audio is better than the last episode. Apologies, like an hour plus into the podcast, to anybody who struggled with the last episode. This one hopefully will be better.
So thank you folks for having me. I enjoy it. Always good to talk to Livewise Cardinals people.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody for listening, and bye.
Bye.